Good morning. You're listening to Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. I'm standing in for Vaynant. He'll be back on Tuesday, it seems, the 11th. He'll be back with you, which gives me the privilege of spending daybreak with you and sharing what's on my heart. I actually asked Johan, I wanted, please give me Friday morning. I've got something on my heart to share with you. Because this past holiday, we lost my brother-in-law. That's my husband's brother. And that one morning, we had to go and see his body. Now, it's not something I would ever do, but my mother-in-law really wanted to go, and I just couldn't have her go alone. And my husband went with. So there I was standing. It's a very cold room. And Tuani was lying there in a casket. And it's something that you'll never forget, ever. Someone lying there, not breathing, you know? Not breathing. And you know that you know that the fact that you are breathing at this moment is from the Lord. You cannot take it for granted. I was reminded of Job and of Psalms where it says, your days are written up in the book. And Tuani's days were done. His life was finished, completed, and he was then standing before the King of the universe, Jesus Christ. And we had all kinds of discussions about that because isn't that what our whole life is about? That's what our life is about. Everything that we do, what we think, our decisions, what we say, all of it culminates in that one moment where you stand before Jesus Christ, before his judgment seat. And we've got all kinds of scriptures like Romans that says there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. But we stand before that judgment seat as Christians as well as non-Christians. Non-Christians stand there because that judgment seat is to declare whether you lost or whether you saved. And yes, we're saved. So we stand there, shadana, done. But there's a second reason we stand there. That judgment seat is to declare the measure of our reward. We are rewarded in the age to come according to the works done in the body. So, yeah, we know this. We're standing there to get more or less reward because we're Christians. But I want to read you specifically 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, which says, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home, in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, all of us. We've got that appointment. So that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So here we are. We're doing life. And we're doing the best we can. And when you ask someone in the world, what's life about? I always think about the cars that it says, you've got one life, live it. And what they mean with that is have as much joy as you can, fun as you can, survive as well as you can, get as educated as you can. What people think of you matters, you know, the respect that people give you. Maybe they'll name a street after you. Your legacy is important, you know, how much money you leave your kids. What else can there be? Getting yourself a good wife or a good husband, having a happy marriage, your kids being happy, taking them on holidays. That's what life is about. Get as much as you can out of one life. One life, go live it. But when we stand before Jesus Christ, what is going to matter is what he thinks is important. And he doesn't care how many degrees you had. He doesn't care how much respect people have for you if that respect is not based on him. He doesn't care how much you own. He doesn't actually even care how happy you were. Joy, yes, but not that pleasure, the thing that the whole world is after. If our whole life is about that one moment before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, the question is, what will count when we stand there? Because that reward we receive is forever. This is eternity. It literally decides where we're going to be, how we're going to spend eternity. And life is like this. It's like this. Even if you suffer, even if you've been poor, doesn't matter what was allocated to you, what happens during this breath of a life that's over just like that determines eternity. So we better get this right. We better get this right. So 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 15 says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved, even though only as escaping through flame. So we've got gold, silver, or costly stones on the one side, wood, hay, or straw on the other side. Gold, silver, or costly stones, even though it goes through fire, it doesn't lose anything. It only becomes better. Wood, hay, or straw, burnt, is completely consumed. It only lost like this. It lasts. It's what's physical, what lasts now. What counts is the gold. So the question is, oh God, what's that gold? What's that gold? What will count? What will stay? What will be rewarded when we stand before God? One of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork. Some of the translation says masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So what's going to count there is everything done in the name of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus, built on that foundation of Jesus, everything done in obedience to that word of God and led by the Spirit. Obedience to that word of God, led by the Spirit. Obedience to God's word. Why do we always say, let's do a reading plan, let's get into the word? It's because how are you going to be obedient to the word if you don't know the word? Let's get into that gold. What does the word say? What's the gold? Luke 10:27. This is when a Pharisee, someone who knows the word, stands before Jesus and says, okay, what matters? What's the most important commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's your life right there, summed up right there. If you can get that one done, you're fine when you stand before the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. He's not first, he's everything. So even while you're getting educated, if you can get educated in him, loving the Lord your God with your life, that's gold. John 17:3, this is eternal life. Do you want to know your God? Because he's going to care. Remember when he said, people standing before him, he's going to say, even though you raised them up from the dead, you healed the sick, all of that, but you didn't know me? He's going to say, I don't know you either. Please depart from me. So did you know God? Did you even care to find out who he was? Because here it says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you want to know his character? Do you want to know how he thinks? That's gold. That's going to count whether you wanted to when you stand before him. Did you abide in him? Do you even know what that means? John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Now hear this, apart from me, you can do nothing. Of course we can do stuff. We can live life. There it is. Live life. There's one life. Live it. Everywhere. There's lots and lots of people doing life without Jesus. And they eat and they drink and they own stuff and they try their best. But here it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, anything you do without Jesus Christ is wind. It's chaff. It's wood, hay, or straw. It means nothing. Even if you go, and what does he say? Good works. Even if you lay down your life for others without Jesus, it's nothing. All of those good people, people that die, that did good deeds, but they did it without Jesus. That's what it meant. Isn't that sad? Abiding in him. Matthew 10:42. All right. What's next? What next? What's going to count when you stand before Jesus? Whatever you did for fellow Christians and those in ministry, that's going to count. I know this because Matthew 10:42 says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Every time you gave money to someone in ministry, any time you gave your house, any time you just helped out and didn't ask for something back, you know, someone that is a brother or sister in Christ, someone who's going through a hard time and you brought that plate of food, that's gold. That counts. When you stand before Jesus Christ, he's going to remember that. He is going to remember that. Remember that the widow that was, when he was sitting in the temple and was looking at the money box, and in comes the widow and she gives two little coins. Jesus stops in his tracks because she's bringing what she has to give, and it's very little. It's insignificant. It is so little. It's like cents she brings. He stops in his tracks because he says, look at that. Look at that woman. She's giving what she has to live on. That's what it says there. What she has to live on, she's bringing to Jesus. Do you see how much it impresses him? That's gold. That's what's going to count when you stand before him. And then what you can do to anyone who can't reciprocate it. Whatever you give to someone who can't give back, serve someone who can't serve back. Luke 14, remember when he says, okay, go invite everyone. When you've got a wedding feast, you've got food. And he says, when you've got a wedding feast, you invite people who can't invite you back. Now, think about mean people in your life. Your enemies, the ones he wants you to pray for, those. They're poor inside. People who are stingy. People who hurt others because they were hurt when they were young. Or, you know, they're just broken. They're poor inside. And yet you are. You the Christian. You the righteous person. So if you give them prayer, if you give them time, if you give them an apple, for goodness sake, your enemies, then you've given something to someone who cannot reciprocate. They don't even understand why you're giving it to them. And that impresses God. It impresses him to no end. You know what? If he wants to save that person, like someone who's really selfish, someone who's really prideful, arrogant, you know, those people that just makes your neck hair stand right up. You can't stand them. Well, guess what? If he wants to do something in their life, who's he going to send to them? He's going to send the Christian, the one that's got to love their enemies, who's got to pray for their enemies. He's going to send you to serve them. He's going to make them your boss. He's going to make them someone who you can't get rid of. You want to, but you can't. Why? Because God cares about them. If you as a Christian can't pray for them, who's going to pray for them? So when you do that, in obedience, led by the Spirit, why do you think you care? It's because the Spirit comes and he knocks on your shoulder and he says, pray for them. You say, no, Lord, don't wanna. Leave me alone. He says, hey, pray for them. Make them coffee. Write them a sticky note. Do it in secret. They don't even have to know it's you. But as a righteous person, you're the only one who can do that thing. If God wants to do something in someone's life, he raises up prayer for them. He raises up a Christian. That one is you. And when you do it, it's gold. It's gold. When you stand before Jesus Christ at his judgment seat, he's going to say, remember that person? Yeah? Whatever the name is. Pity. Thank you for praying for them. And it's going to count. Whatever you do in secret is going to count. If you can give in secret, if you can fast in secret, if you can pray in secret, Matthew 6:1-4 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. secrets. You know, he does the same for you. He gives you, and you don't even know it's him. He opens doors for you. You've got angels doing things in your life that you don't even know about. So you're not saying thank you to the Lord. So he does it. He never asks us anything that he doesn't do first. The motives of our heart, they count. When we stand before him, the motives of our heart counts. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Are you doing it out of selfishness? Are you doing it to be seen? Are you doing it out of pride? Are you giving to someone because you feel better than them? Nope. We're lost. It's our privilege to serve. It's our privilege to give. It's our privilege to be the least of these. Anything done in obedience counts. I heard this story. Oh, we had an interview once with someone. Can't remember his name. And God had told him, he was in a mall, and God had told him, there's that guy. It was a stranger, didn't know him. God says, go dive, you know, dake the O. He had to jump the guy. And he says, God, no, please not. Please, 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 please. And God says, please, go do it. Go do it. Just go tackle him. The strange guy in the mall, go tackle him. And at last he sighs, he runs, and he goes and tackles the guy. When they get up there, this guy who he tackled says, and he starts crying, and he says, thank you for tackling me. And he is flabbergasted, and he says, well, excuse me? He says, this morning, I wanted to take my life. And I say, God, if you are out there, have someone strange, a stranger, tackle me today in public, because he knew that he knew that he knew there'd never be anyone who would do that. And I think to myself, you know, can't put God in a box. You can't. He did it out of obedience. And that's now a crazy example. But God tells us to forgive. And we say, God, I can't. But you know, when you are obedient, not only do you get the freedom and the peace and the hope that comes from releasing that bitterness and that pain here on earth, forgiveness is gold. You stand before God, and when you chose to forgive out of obedience, you didn't want to do it, you couldn't care less, you can't stand that person, and God says, forgive, you did it. Then God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Loving your enemies? No one wants to do that. You did it because he says you had to do it. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't want to give your tithe because you don't have enough money. Or you see someone in need, but you need that money first. And you give it in any case because you feel prompted in your heart. And out of obedience, you give it in any case. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And then he supplies your need because he promises to. What about the fruit of the Spirit? I know, I can't get to all of this stuff, but the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's all a work of God that he does in our lives. And every yes, where we didn't have self-control, we wanted that drink, or we wanted that self-gratification, or we wanted to read that story that we weren't supposed to read, or watch that movie that we weren't supposed to watch, and we decided no. Not gonna. That's gold. That moment right there is gold. It's gonna count when you stand before the Lord. And there are all kinds of rewards. We don't know what the rewards are. We know they're eternal. We know there are all kinds of crowns that we can get. There's that eternal crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25. I'm gonna give you the notes afterwards. You can go check them. But it's all about running the race in obedience to God's word, doing life his way according to his rules. Then you get an eternal crown or the soul winner's crown. I know you feel other people should be winning souls. I'm busy with life. Thank you very much. And I'm not an evangelist. Well, there's a soul winner's crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy." When you've led someone to Jesus Christ, when you've saved someone, when you don't just look at their lives and say, shame, but you go and you walk that extra mile, when you make disciples of people, he tells us that's what's important. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, making disciples of people. Have you ever done it? Well, that's going to count. Don't say it's not for me. It counts. And not doing it makes that reward less. And we don't know the implication of this, but this is what's important to God, is getting people saved, saving them from eternal hell, and then making disciples, teaching them how to walk. Just invite them to church. Just do life with them. Help them to make the right decisions. Be there to give them word. Read the Bible with them. Get them into a reading plan, and you do the same one as theirs. And then when you see one another, you chat about it. It's not rocket science. You just do life with people. There's that crown of righteousness, and that's all about expecting Jesus to return. Because if you do expect Jesus to return soon, you'll want to get as many people saved as possible, and there'll be that urgency about it. Not an urgency to pay the bill at the end of the month first. The first urgency is, who is your neighbor and is he saved? You know, that is a crown of righteousness. Your crown of glory, church leaders, you get your own crown. A crown of glory where you were humble and you served your people and you cared about the state of who they are, and you didn't care about your status as pastor, apostle, or prophet so-and-so first. That's a crown of glory. And that victor's crown is for people who were martyrs, and they're going to rule with Jesus in the 1,000 years. People who revered his name, people who had a fear of the Lord first. And you say, but I've got life, I've got to do life. Can't you just leave me alone so I can just do life? Life is what you're going to be judged on when you stand before Jesus for your reward. And here's my answer to that. Not my answer, God's answer to that. Put this on your fridge. Print it out in bold letters, and you make that font 72, and you put it on your fridge. You put there Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Talking about the clothes, the food, the everything that you need. Seek first the kingdom of God. That is what your money, your time, your passion, your mind space, that should be what occupies your mind. Where your next piece of bread will come from, this is, Jesus says he will provide that. You worry about his kingdom, he will worry about your needs. Do you believe this? This is what the word says. This is what counts. Let's do 2022. Let's realign. Go get ourselves from all of the scattered places where we were, spending our time on what everyone else is spending their time. Let's go gather ourselves from there, rake ourselves closer and realign. Put our forehead against his, put our nose against his, feel his breath on your breath. And get into that word, get into the reading plan, take the whole word, miss out on nothing, so that you know who he is, how he thinks, what's important, and as you stay in the word, you'll stay aligned. Don't stop reading the word. Don't stop going to church. You need church to stay aligned with what is important, so that we don't waste another year, another 10 years, another lifetime spending our lives on chaff, on wood and hay and straw. Let's spend our lives on the gold, the silver, and the costly stones that won't burn, that won't fade away. And then we can stand there with all boldness and the full knowledge that he's going to say, "Hello, Janine. Welcome. I love what you did with your life." Let's die well, huh? When it's the end, when our days are done, we just have no problem. Can't wait to stand before his throne, because we know we did this. We seeked first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he added all these things unto us. God, we just want to say, we love you. We want to know you better. We want to spend our time, our whole lives. We just want to pour ourselves out to loving our neighbors as ourselves. But firstly, to love you. We want to love you. Teach us to love you. Show us more about yourself. Show us who you are. We don't want to miss out on anything. And anything that we haven't known so far, we want to know. We want to know you. We want to know your ways, your thoughts. We want to know your will. We don't want to waste time ambling off on the wrong road. We just want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are. And then you can do what you want to through us. And we know we'll be pure vessels. We'll be pure vessels. We love you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross. Thank you for paying for our sins, that no sins can get in the way of your will through our lives. We bless you. We love you. And just thank you. Thank you. We want to do this year with you in Jesus' name. Amen.